This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin, and I'll be your guest for today's show. Today will be part two of Meet the Accredited Speakers. In part one, Ryan Levesque spoke with the three newly minted accredited speakers, and today we'll be speaking with the final three, Yelena Balabanova, Michael Bayer, and Greg Van Borsum. So let's get to it. Our next guest is distinguished Toastmaster Dr. Yelena Balabanova. She's a sought-after, award-winning artist and inspirational speaker, and has been recognized by the National Foundation for Advancement of the Arts. Her talents have seen her perform and present in Australia, Canada, China, Europe, South Africa, and across the United States. She was also named one of the 10 Grand Artists since 2010. Balabanova delivers tailored presentations, keynotes, and workshops for audiences from 25 to 2,500, including professional associations, corporations, educators, community groups, and women's groups. She has a doctorate of musical arts from the University of Colorado and serves as a board member for the Washington State Federation of Music Clubs, the Washington State Music Teachers Association, and the Pacific International Piano Competition with the Bellevue Symphony Orchestra. And now, an accredited speaker. Dr. Yelena Balabanova, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you so much, Greg. I'm happy to be here.
Congratulations on achieving your accredited speaker designation. Perhaps just tell us a little bit about your journey.
The seed for this journey was planted by John Hartquist, who is an accredited speaker, and I'm very lucky he's in our District 2 Toastmasters, which is in Seattle, Washington. So he kept telling me, Yelena, you should try for accredited speaker. Then I attended a session in Washington, D.C. at the International Convention presented by Cheryl Rusch and Rochelle Rice, and they highlighted the accredited speaker program. I came home and I looked at my activities. At the time, I was speaking very frequently to a variety of groups, and I noticed, oh my gosh, I do have 25 presentations. I looked at the application form and started to work on it, and then by the time January application window came, I had my video recorded and I submitted application. And to my great surprise, I was accepted to the level two.
Wow.
And that's when the challenge occurred, because that presentation is judged at such high standard. I did not expect at the time. Also, at that summer, I had other obligations, and I honestly don't think I focused enough, and so I did not pass. However, I also feel lucky that I did not pass, because I received such an extremely valuable feedback that I focused on, and I practiced, and I worked on my next year level two speech so hard, and I learned so much. Biggest value of this process is in learning for me.
It's interesting, because very few people would say, I'm glad that I failed, but obviously it changed things for you. Did you have any hesitations initially?
No, I did not have any hesitations. I always welcome opportunities. And I thought this is a fantastic opportunity. You know, I live by the motto that you miss 100% shots you don't take. And I think it's by a great hockey player, Gretzky, who said that. So I thought, this is great.
Well, you're speaking to someone who lives in Edmonton, Alberta, where Gretzky spent most of his years, so I can certainly appreciate that comment. What do you think was one of your biggest challenges taking this journey?
I had two big challenges. One is my accent. I received quite harsh comments on that, but I worked with a vocal coach, and she helped me a lot. Again, I welcome feedback because I believe it helps me grow and it highlights sides that I may not see myself or not notice. My second challenge was I come from the world of art and performing culture. The challenge was to really be able to transfer the lessons I learned from that and make it into a relevant message for general audience.
Obviously, you're successful in doing that because when you started talking right away about creativity, and then I saw the keyboard, I thought, I knew this was going to be fun. How did you find a way of putting that all together, and what were you trying to accomplish in the presentation?
I have to admit, it was difficult. And that speech, which I'm very happy to hear that you enjoyed, has 37 versions.
Wow.
So what you heard was version number 37. The speech was absolutely transformed from the beginning to the end. But the idea and the core values are very important to me, so that stayed the same. But I experimented with different musical excerpts that I've used and also different slides. In the process, I wrote an entirely different speech. And as a result, it's all combined eventually into what you have heard.
In addition to the music and obviously your message, I loved how you were creative yourself. You had said creativity is not a special talent. And I remember you talking about the secret is in the hair. And you mentioned Einstein, Beethoven, and then you twisted it with Cher. So, I mean, that was the nice humorous twist. Why do you feel that creativity is not a special talent?
This is very strongly supported by my experience as an artist and also as a coach for many other performing artists. And what you see on the stage, which often appears as an effortless, elegant performance, is actually hours and hours in the practice room. And when audience members come up and say, you're so talented, this is true, but it's also a ton and ton of work. So when somebody comes to me and says, can you help me to improve my skills or do I have a talent? The answer is always yes, because it all comes to practice. So creativity is no different. It's a learnable skill. It can be practiced and it should be practiced.
And right. And what days do you not practice creativity?
On the days you don't eat.
I knew you were going to say that because that was in the presentation. It was incredible. Is there anything else that you want to add about the presentation itself or the message?
The message is that everyone is very capable and every person is very talented. But a lot of times we get distracted. And the real talent is to be able to focus, prioritize, and keep going.
What are some of the other things that you talk about?
Practice skills has been a very popular workshop, and also overcoming fear of failure. They are very connected with each other. Fear of failure is extremely common. I think it's part of our human nature, but it often comes in very disguised ways, like I don't have time, I'm not interested, I don't like it enough. We usually never would say, oh, I'm afraid it will not work out. We'll say, oh, you know, I'm so busy right now, I don't want to invest my time into this. So if you get to the core and realize that it really is a fear that makes you say that, then you can really make a true decision. Because I had also tons of opportunity to say, I'm so busy, I really don't have time to pursue this accredited speaker program. Because of course I was nervous. I mean, who wants to be judged and not pass? Or receive feedback that you're not relevant, or that your voice is this and that, or you don't look this, or your speech structure is not good enough. I mean, nobody wants that. Yeah, you can always have excuses. And then practice skills, it's a program that supports overcoming fear of failure, because once you focus on everyday, very concrete task and do small steps, but very consistently and in a very organized way, you gain confidence and you get a sense of accomplishment. that will help to eventually say, look, I'm not afraid, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I know what to do.
So there's hope for me still as I stare across the room to a keyboard and a guitar that have had very little use in a long time. I need lots of practice.
Well, the word lots here, that's what's stopping you. Because you're looking at it, but you're thinking that you need to invest hours and hours and it's a long time process. But in my workshops, I teach that if you just spend 15 minutes, but every day, you will be so amazed how much you have accomplished. But those 15 minutes need to happen every day. We can try it, Greg. Don't be afraid. You can have 15 minutes.
Sage advice from the good doctor. Dr. Yelena, if people want to reach out and find out a little bit more about what you do, or they want to contact you, what's the best way for them to find you?
They can find me on my website, which is yelenabalabanova@gmail.com. My website is skymusicspeaker.com.
Dr. Yelena Balabanova, as our time comes to a close, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to be with us on the program. Congratulations on your accredited speaker designation.
Thank you very much, Greg. My pleasure.
Michael Bayer is recognized as a change expert with 15 years of experience leading total quality management initiatives at Transport Canada, and for more than 2 decades leading self-sustaining lean initiatives in healthcare organizations across the United States and Canada. He's a certified speaking professional who delivers training sessions, consulting, and keynotes for healthcare organizations, businesses, and associations. He also specializes in closing keynotes with magic, mirth, and mayhem that results in immediate changes when attendees return to work. Bayer holds a Master of Business Administration degree from California Coast University. Outside of Toastmasters, Bayer is a lean black belt for healthcare from the Institute of Industrial Engineers and has won the Winnipeg Close-Up Magician of the Year and, of course, an accredited speaker. From Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, Michael Bayer, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Michael, before we begin our interview, I have to ask about the magic.
Well, the magic is a podcast in itself, I think. But years ago, I got into clowning. And from clowning, I got into magic. And I developed a magic show that I did at birthday parties, festivals, fairs, etc., all around Manitoba. And I did that for probably about 15 years. And when I transitioned to become a speaker, I thought, could I somehow use that magic as a metaphor to really anchor my message to my clients? So I don't do a magic show, but I just use the odd magic trick just to anchor that learning and so that folks remember what they learned.
So now it makes a lot of sense. When listening to your accredited speaker presentation, the subject or the topic was lean. I once attended a lean manufacturing session and the material was a little on the dry side. It was very technical, but yet you took a topic and you spun it in such a way that made everyone laugh, but also get a lot out of it. Tell us a little bit about that presentation.
Well, the presentation, when I was putting the presentation together, and it's a presentation that I use in my professional life to garner interest in lean and garner interest that folks will call me to book me as a speaker and as a management consultant. You can't just present dry facts. You have to make it interesting and you have to capture people's imagination. You have to be able to capture them so that they can see themselves in the situation and say, yes, I can bring this to my company. I can bring this to my hospital. We can make this happen here. A dry recitation of facts and process is not going to make that happen. And even when you get to the client and you start to work with them, you have to keep it exciting, you have to keep it flowing, and you have to really engage people. And that really is the secret of creating a successful lean culture in any organization.
Just for the benefit of our audience who may not be familiar with lean, could you just define it in just basic terms?
Okay, lean is a process that was originally developed by Toyota back in the late 40s, early 50s, when they wanted to become the best car manufacturer in the world. And what it's all about is it's about eliminating waste in processes and creating a culture of continuous improvement where we're always looking for things to improve our processes and to help us serve our customers better.
Although sometimes certain topics can be on the dry side, depending on the way they're delivered, I knew right from the beginning that this particular presentation was going to be fun. It was started with the introduction where you were introduced with this 4-3-2-1 method, which started with 4 airline frequent flyers, 3 hotel rewards programs, 2 car rental driver programs, and then Costco. And I just thought, was there a particular reason why you set it up that way?
Yes, there absolutely was. When I was preparing the intro, and I know that my topic can be viewed as boring, and the last thing people in an introduction want to hear is yet a boring introduction to a topic that may be perceived as boring. When I wrote my introduction, I wanted to lighten it up, and I wanted to give people an idea that, yes, we're going to be talking about a serious topic here from an expert, but we're also going to have a little bit of fun. And while I take what I do extremely seriously, I don't take myself very seriously. And I wanted to set myself up for that in my introduction.
I was sort of thinking that, and I didn't want to use the B word. But you continued on right after the introduction, and when you came on, when I've heard these types of presentations before, it quite often opens up with a number of facts and figures, but you went right into a story. You had a very particular structure in mind. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yes. When I was developing the keynote, I really wanted to emphasize that lean is not about managers doing things. Lean is about frontline doing things and the difference that the frontline can make. So when I structured the opening, especially the opening story, I wanted a real bang. And that's why I opened with that first story, the $1 million that they found in the first year. The second, again, by a frontline staff who collaborated with others to fix this process error. The second story in my intro was about the lady who had an inefficient inventory management system in the hospital, and they completely revised that and saved the hospital a tremendous amount of money in the amount of inventory they had on hand. And the last story was just a phlebotomist who thought, wow, maybe I can try something a little bit different and maybe we can save a couple of dollars. And really what I wanted to emphasize was that it's the front line who know 100% of the problems and they have 100% of the answers. And lean is about empowering and engaging those people into finding those issues and solving those problems and the difference that they can make. And that was this whole structure around the opening introduction going into my presentation.
What I appreciated the most was that although it was about lean, it was about organizations and corporations for the most part, you can apply these types of ideas to your own life as well.
Absolutely, you can. You just have to start to look at things a little bit differently.
I love that. And you certainly did, especially with the embedded humor.
Thank you. What was interesting is afterwards, when I was walking around the halls, folks were coming up and congratulating me. And I was really moved by some folks that came to me and said, you've inspired me to continue on and to look at earning an accredited speaker designation. I speak on technical topics. I thought you had to be this big motivational speaker up there. And what you showed us was you can talk about a technical talk and still be a successful accredited speaker.
That's awesome. So you've inspired people to start a journey. Tell us a little bit about your accredited speaker journey.
Well, my accredited speaker journey started, oh gosh, 20 some years ago, back in 98. I was a relatively new Toastmaster, a couple of years in, loved competing, was very successful, got to the finals of the 98 World Championship. About that time, I was laid off from a job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was in my mid-40s, unemployed. I needed a job. I needed work. I really didn't know what to do. And I decided, you know, the journey to the World Championship, I wondered, am I good enough to do this for a living? I took the plunge, and with the support of my wife and my family, I hung up my shingle, and I became a full-time professional speaker. The jury is still out on whether or not I can be successful, but I'm having a great time doing it.
And how has Toastmasters helped you in this process?
Well, Toastmasters was really the start of it, and I joked at the district chair when I was chatting, and I said, you know, it all started at Windy Corners Toastmasters, which was my first Toastmasters club. They were the ones that encouraged me to pursue a career as a professional speaker. They encouraged me by allowing me more time if I was practicing keynotes to help me in the early days. They were always an encouragement. I've been a member of 2 Toastmasters clubs for over 20 years. I actively participate as much as I can and block a day off on my calendar every month to make sure that I go to Toastmasters, because I need to give back to Toastmasters what they gave to me.
For someone who is thinking of moving towards their accredited speaker designation, and perhaps their expertise lies in an area which is highly technical or perhaps can come across as dry, is there one piece of advice that you could offer them?
The best piece of advice I can give them is don't focus on the technicalities of what you do. Focus on the impact that it has on your customer and the changes that the customer can make, the changes in behavior, the differences in their business, the differences in their lives as a result of what you're doing. And focus on those stories, and that will intrigue people who will then later come to you and say, I loved what I heard. I loved what you did. Tell me how you do it.
I remember hearing a story once upon a time about Newton, and instead of talking about the physics and the math and the theory behind gravity, is to just share a story with someone about what happened with the apple when it fell from the tree.
Exactly. I remember years ago taking a genetics course at university. One of the questions on the exam was, if you were teaching this course, what and why would you teach it? I remember going to my prof afterwards to do a debrief on my exam, and he said, I love the answer. He said, no one in the class gave an answer like you. And I described the replication of DNA in terms of a ballet that was being played out and how molecules moved around, etc. And he said, I loved your answer. He didn't talk science. He says, you saw the beauty of the process. That's always stuck with me.
Well, I'm certainly convinced that lean process improvement and change management can actually be fun.
Well, it can. And the incredible thing about it is as organizations go through the process and as they become lean and they see the difference that it makes and the difference they're making, that really drives them, and it drives the excitement as well. And it gets them to start looking everywhere and looking for things. It changes the whole outlook of an organization and the way it looks at itself totally. And the differences in culture and the differences when you look at, especially in hospitals, at patient satisfaction scores, the impact is incredible.
Once again, congratulations on achieving your accredited speaker designation. If people would like to find out more about what you do or get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way for them to do that is they could either email me at michael@theleanconsultinggroup.com, or I'd be more than happy to chat with them on the phone if they'd like to call me at 501-762-2462.
Michael Baer, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Greg, thank you very much.
On the line today from Kilcare Beach, just north of Sydney in Australia, we have Greg Van Borsum. Greg Van Borsum is a failed school kid who turned adversities into opportunities, from martial arts to movies. Over the years, Greg has accomplished an incredible level of achievement, the world's youngest professional natural bodybuilder, a multiple black belt martial artist, a world pistol shooting champion, an award-winning Hollywood filmmaker, and now accredited speaker. It was battling through the losses of a number of colleagues, friends, and a family member to suicide that truly changed Greg's life. He knew that something needed to change. As a national ambassador and advocate for suicide prevention, Greg now speaks globally on suicide prevention and how poor leadership can negatively affect mental health. Greg Van Borsum, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, first thing before we get into the interview, I just wanted to say that our hearts and thoughts and minds are going out to everyone there in Australia. How is your family holding out?
Oh, my family's all good. I mean, we've had friends lose houses and, you know, bits and pieces on the properties. I mean, that's just the way it is right now. We don't complain. We just all knuckle down and get into it and try and fix things up. So the country's getting behind it, and bit by bit, we'll get over it.
Well, let's hope for some cooler weather and a little bit more rain.
Yeah, for sure.
Welcome to the program, and congratulations on achieving your accredited speaker designation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about your journey. It didn't quite happen the first time, did it?
No, first time I had to submit the video, and we don't video a lot of speeches back home here in Australia, so I managed to get a national convention to say they'd video it for me, and they promised me the world but delivered the Atlas. I knew that would hurt me, which it did, so I didn't get through on part one of that first year. So I made a pact with myself that I would video the second year, and second year I did get through to the stage.
So that was in 2017 where you didn't quite make it to the stage. In 2018, you made it to the stage, but just.
Yeah, I made it, and it was to this day now, and I've done a lot of things in my life I suppose I'm really proud of. However, this was probably one of the toughest moments I dealt with, because I was meant to speak on suicide prevention on the 2018 stage, and about 2 days before I flew in, one of my fellow Toastmasters and a dear friend of ours took their life, and I had to help the police try and locate the body, and then I spent the rest of the trip over through Chicago helping the family through the situation, which was a pretty tough time. So when I got backstage, I thought to myself, you know what, I just can't speak about this. It's going to be way too raw and I'm going to break down on stage, which doesn't look real professional. I had what we classify in bodybuilding as the white moment. When you get under a heavy squat rack and you're about to lift a heavy weight, everything goes white. And that was the exact thought process I had backstage. And all I remember was them calling out my name and walking out onto the stage with this title, Us, We, Together. And that was the only three words I had in my head. I didn't know what I was going to say to these people. I just knew I couldn't speak about suicide prevention. So I had to make up a new speech as I walked on stage. If anyone looks at the 2018 footage, you'll see me pacing around a bit at the start of the video because I was literally searching for what the hell I was going to say to all this audience who was there. And I managed to string a speech together. So, yeah, it was a pretty rough time. That's still going today. I'm still helping that family because it doesn't just come and go when someone takes their life or you lose someone like that. But this year I was determined. The speech I gave this year in 2019, I was backstage and I was so calm and confident and ready because one of the most major losses I had in my life was my auntie. And I gave that speech for her.
Your speech was entitled, Are You Okay? A very simple title, but yet extremely effective. Tell us just a little bit about your presentation.
Well, the presentation starts with the last three lines of my auntie's letter before she took her life. I wanted to engage the audience in a personal part of the story before I started going into the facts. Whilst you have to deliver facts to people in a speech and information, at the same time, you've got to engage people through story. I wanted to give some of my journey and some of our family's journey, what took me down the path. Because, you know, I went through a really hard time after we did Fury Road and we nearly lost our home and all the rest of that stuff that went with it. And, you know, I got to the edge of it myself. And had I not had such a history of martial arts and strength behind me, I might not have made it. I got my way back. I found my way back and fought my way back. And on the way, I taught myself the steps that it actually takes to bring yourself out of this stuff. And I wanted to give that to the audience.
I found the structure very powerful. You opened with speaking a little bit about your auntie. Then you talked about the topic in general. And then you led into your own story, which I felt added more power because you were right there. I still remember, and it's just ingrained in my brain, how you talked about in 2014 that you were knee deep in the mud for, was it 70 hours a week? It was that message that just hit home with me.
Yeah, and I was. And I mean, in all honesty, if the unions had seen where we were, they would have shut the site down. You know, and there was times that it was so tough that I was either shoveling mud off sheet pile walls, but I was down the bottom of this lift shaft almost in darkness. Then I learned how to oxy-cut and I was cutting steel. And pieces of steel would swing past me that were orange hot. And sometimes you just, you know what, I don't even care if it hits me. You know, that's the mentality you get to that point. And then, you know, it wasn't until my birthday, 2014, when Benny, one of my coworkers, took his life, that I went, you know what, this is a bigger problem than me. And I think one of the great things we need to learn as a human species is that you can't make things just about yourself. The things that we need to deal with and the things we want to face and fight need to be bigger than you. If you don't believe that, then you're never going to make it to where you want to get to. Once something gets bigger than yourself, when you're just thinking of yourself, you'll collapse. You've got to be after an objective that's larger than yourself. And I think, you know, suicide prevention, look, I wish I never had to speak on it because I wish it never happened. We can go on about all these prevention things as much as we want in the world. But at the end of the day, until we start re-engaging as people and start actually caring about each other again and not flicking each other a text and thinking that's fine, the day we change that back to walking up to someone and shaking their hand, giving them a hug, putting your arm around their shoulder and all those things we used to do so much as a community, until we get that stuff back, we are going to suffer and keep losing people.
It sounds like you're walking the walk and talking the talk. Obviously, in 2018, you could not give that speech when you got up on stage, but obviously you gave it this time and you keep giving it over and over, even though it's hard to relive. I'm assuming it's hard to relive, is it not?
The interesting thing about talking about these things, and you know, I've lost 12 people to this stuff. It's cathartic. It's a self-healing process. The more you speak about it, the more you understand it, and the more you can step back and look in on yourself in the third person. And I think that's really important with a lot of problems, is that if we have the ability to step outside ourselves, and this is in any problem, you know, we've always got this great ability of solving anyone else's issues. You know, you look at someone, you go, God, I don't know what they're doing wrong. You know, that relationship they're in is terrible, but you can't do it with yourself. It's because you're trapped inside an issue. And what we have to learn to do is step outside the issue and look in on it as a third person, like we're viewing someone else's problem. And the solutions come to you when you do that. The biggest factor I ever learned is when you write it down, you can break it down, because thought processes come to you in just massive waves. And when you're struggling or when someone's going through hardships, even financial, whatever, when they all hit you, they hit you in this massive wave that just becomes overwhelming. And then you can't deal with it. So if you write them down, then one by one, you can knock them off. I've got notes in front of me now on the computer, like sitting just in front of the screen, things I have to do. You know, my book that I'm writing right now has been a long process for me, but it's because I know there's always more to add to it.
Can you give us a little hint as to what the book is called? What's it about?
Well, it's called Remastermind. It's about mastering your mindset to remaster your life. So I work for 20 years with Dr. George Miller, and George did the Babe films, the Happy Feet films, the Mad Max films. He's done lots and lots of movies over his time. We became friends many years ago, but he's a wonderful director, a very strong gut director. George Miller always coined the phrase about me. He said, "You're the master of remastery." He said, "You've got this strange ability to be able to take your skill set from one area and shift it into the next area and the next one where you've got no skill sets and in no time become a master of it." It's because the essential foundations from each one are actually very similar. So no matter what you do in your lifetime, if you've had a great skill set in one area, you can transition those skill sets into the next thing as a foundation of that next skill set, and you can build upon that. And it takes down the amount of time that it takes to master something by tenfold. You know, so I went from being an inexperienced shooter in 2006 to winning a world title in 2014, making the national team within 6 months of starting the sport because of the way I engaged the processes and how I learned how to go, well, these are the bits that made me good at building. These are the bits that made me good at bodybuilding. These are the bits that made me good at this. And if I take those same processes and put it into this, then it's going to make me good at that. And it did. Speaking is the same. I only joined Toastmasters in 2014. And that's when I gave my first speech, was an icebreaker. And 2 days later, gave a keynote in front of 500 of the world's top executives and sales executives at Henry Schein Halas, which I think is the eighth largest company in the world. And I'd never given a keynote in my life. And I remember saying to Debbie backstage, I said, "This is either going to go really well or really badly. So I'll tell you in an hour." And I thought I botched it. I was on stage and I finished the presentation. I thought, God, it's been 15 minutes. What do I do for the next 40 minutes? And I looked at my watch and I'd been an hour. A lot of people wanted to speak, and I managed to save a couple of people's lives out of that.
So how else has Toastmasters helped you?
Oh, look, Toastmasters really helped bring me back. You know, Toastmasters helped my mum. My mum was, you know, she's been in the magazine. She was a member of Toastmistress, and she had massive agoraphobia. It come from a very abusive family, and she couldn't speak, needed to change that. And she knew that if she found the power of speech, it would help her. And she went down to Toastmistress, and she got up and said her name and trembled and sat down, and they clapped her. And she went back every fortnight for 21 years, became a president and this and that, and did all the roles, and it changed her entire outlook of life. And so when we were kids, she got us to do a speechcraft course, which we did one and never went back. I thought I was cool and I was good at it, which I really wasn't. And my sister didn't want to do it. And I didn't do it again for years. And until the night before I went to the Mr. Universe, you know, we went to a Chinese restaurant. I got a fortune cookie, and this message fell out of it onto the table, which said, "Listen to your mother's advice." And she leaned across the table and put her arm around my shoulder and said, "If I can give you one piece of advice, go to Toastmasters and learn to speak." And I shunned it off. I said, "What do I need that for?" I went to the universe, did really well, came home, and there was a message on the answering machine from my school, my old school, inviting me back to be the guest of honor and the keynote speaker. I knew nothing about keynotes. So I wrote 4 bullet points down on a piece of paper. I think it was a serviette. And I rocked up on this night in front of 500 people, and I froze on stage. And I managed to fight through that and get something out speaking, which I think I condensed a 40-minute keynote into about 35 seconds. I was just looking for an exit to get out of there. And she found out that I'd gone really badly at speaking and put her arm around me when I got home and said, "Remember the fortune cookie." And so a number of years later, I took her up on the offer and went Toastmasters it is. And it's changed me. It made me someone who can actually speak now. And I love that I've learnt the art of speaking, because it's a craft and it's an art, but it has to be a passion.
And your Toastmasters club is not around the corner.
No, it's about 130 kilometers, which is probably, 70 miles, 80 miles each way. So I still go there every 2 weeks.
Greg, as our time comes to a close, just wondering if you can let people know where they can find you.
They can get me through my website, gvbmindwarriors.com.au. That's probably got all the information on it. They can get me on Instagram, LinkedIn, all the other places, all under the same name, GVB Mind Warriors. I hope they get in touch. I look forward to speaking and helping as many people as I can.
Greg Van Borsum, thank you for taking the time. I wish you all the best.
Thanks, Rick. Pleasure.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.